I call to order this September 9th, 2025, meeting of the Blair Mayor and City Council. I am Mindy Rump, the Mayor of Blair, and I am pleased that you have joined us this evening. This is a public meeting, and I do encourage you to be part of the process. You may participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. I want you to feel comfortable, and I will do everything that I can to make sure that your voice is heard. We do have some rules to help us proceed with this meeting, and I ask that you please keep them in mind. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off, and if you need to take a call, step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand and I will acknowledge you and you can come forward to the podium. Brenda Wheeler, our city clerk, must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have the opportunity to speak. And please direct your comments to either myself, city council, or to our city staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits, and we will begin this evening with a roll call of members.
Tranter?
Present.
Paulson?
Here.
Long?
Here.
Wolf?
Here.
Willis?
Here.
Clark?
Here.
Letcher?
Yep.
Heifel?
Here.
All members are present.
Thank you. If you'd please stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number 4, approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Please register your vote. Are you on, did you switch meetings? Did you switch to the 7 o'clock city council meeting?
I thought I switched over. Oh, there you go. There we are. You know, during the break, I thought I pulled it up, but.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 5, consider resolution 2025-83 approving Kyle Herber and Brian Keller as new members of the Blair Volunteer Fire Department. Chief Leonard.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, City Staff, Fire Chief Leonard. As you said, here to approve a couple new members. I have one here tonight with me as the other one is running around with his children, taking them to activities tonight, so he wasn't able to make it. Tonight I have Brian Keller here with me. Lived here in Blair for 4 years. Was a former EMT out in Los Angeles, California. Married with 3 kids and worked from home. So a great asset that we can add to the department as he worked from home. The other one that was mentioned was Kyle Herber, a father of 3, 19 years with Omaha Fire. And he currently serves as a captain and has several certifications. So he will be a great asset to the department. So here tonight to get approval to have these two young men join the department.
Very awesome.
Very good. And council members want to introduce?
I'd like to introduce resolution 2025-83.
Resolution number 2025-83 was introduced by council member Heifel, approving Brian Keller and Kyle Herber as new members of the Blair Volunteer Fire Department.
I move we adopt resolution number 2025-83 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2025-83. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Congratulations. Welcome aboard, and thank you for your sacrifice. All right, item number 6, consider approval of a new liquor license for Corman Bar and Grill, LLC, doing business as Black Label Blair, 1631 Washington Street in Blair for a Class 1 liquor license, beer, wine, distilled spirits on sale only. Is the applicant here?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Come on up. Sorry, no worries.
Hello, Jason Corman, Fontanelle, Nebraska.
Just Spell your last name and your address.
K-O-R-M-A-N.
Okay.
1630 Washington.
Okay, thank you. Does council have any questions?
When you open them.
Yeah.
Week in October, first week.
Sounds good. Very good, excellent.
As long as all the equipment shows up.
All right, very good, thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments from the public? Having none?
Motion to recommend approval of a class one liquor license for Corman Bar and Grill LLC DBA Black Label Blair to Nebraska Liquor Control Commission.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the class one liquor license for Black Label Blair. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number seven. Consider ordinance 2593 to adopt the budget statement for fiscal year 2025 and 2026 and to be termed the annual appropriation bill appropriating such sums of money necessary to defray all necessary expenses and liabilities of the city of Blair, Nebraska for fiscal year 2025 and 2026. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Aaron, I'll ask that you go ahead and bring up that first document, which is the actual ordinance. And again, council members, you have that in front of you tonight. This is the end of the end. this is the official designating of it, and this is the appropriations bill for the city. Again, what you're approving tonight with this bill is the total dollar amount of resources that are potentially available to meet the needs of the city. Again, we had a public hearing that started at 6:30 tonight, went over a little bit more in detail some of these numbers, so I'm not going to rehash all of them, although I will read several of them that are going to be on the second page of this particular document, because I think it's important to get it in the record and have it be clear what we're looking at. Again, the public hearing that was held earlier was advertised in the newspaper, and the public was invited to come. You'll notice in section two of this particular document that it specifically says, there is hereby appropriated for the use of the city of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, the sum of $101,750,050.80. Again, that is that total bottom line number that, if you remember, that one page synopsis had that number at the very, very bottom. This number is not what we'll be spending this year. That's not what this number means, because we're not going to spend all the cash that we've got. We're not going to spend all the resources that we have. We're not going to do every single project that has been budgeted for, but this is the total number that you're authorizing that potentially could happen, depending upon what else could occur. And you notice the sentence goes on, to be raised and acquired by the levy of general taxes, special taxes, fees, grants, and by bond issues. So it incorporates all the different resources that the city has available to us for this fiscal year. And it's broken down into funds, and so if you go to page two, and what's up on the screen here, this is a specific list again, same list that was on that one-page synopsis that I gave you earlier, or that we looked at during the budget hearing, and the numbers that are associated with each of those funds. And if you think back all the way to the end of July, when we first started talking about budgets again, the reminder that a fund is a container, if you will, that resources come into and then resources can be spent out of. And there's always going to be a remaining cash balance in a fund. The largest fund that we have is the general fund. And many of our city departments are all part of that general fund. But we do have some enterprise funds like water and wastewater that are separate. And then there's several other funds that represent oftentimes different ways that resources can come into the city. So for the sake of the record, I'm just going to read what's exactly on this page. It'll take a minute, but I think it's important for the citizens to understand what all these numbers represent. What you're approving tonight with the overall $101,750,050.80, now you'll see it some places as 81 cents. That's a rounding issue because by doing the math, the computer is doing these things out to multiple digits. Sometimes it rounds up one penny or another, but we'll try not to spend that last penny. We'll keep it in the bank. But here what we have is for the general fund, you're authorizing $10,393,727.33. For the debt service fund, $15,292,676.97. For the street fund, $26,830,131.62. For the rescue squad fund, $667,846.27. I'll pause there just for a second. You recall that we accumulate money in this account so that we can then pay in cash when we need to buy that next rescue squad. So this number should keep going up. That doesn't mean we're going to spend it this year. It means we're accumulating it this year, getting ready for buying it down the road. The sales tax fund, $5,291,456.95. The insurance and wellness fund, $513,503.04. Wastewater fund, $7,067,790.48. The water fund, $30,724,653.42. The hotel occupation tax, $262,770.98. And again, I'll pause here just to remind you that the hotel tax also is one where we have receipts coming in on a regular basis, but we store them in this fund, and then we use them for various purposes around town, for community development, for marketing, for trying to entice people to come, the art projects, some of those kinds of things that we've been doing downtown to encourage people to come to Blair, all get paid for through this. But that doesn't mean we're going to spend it all. It means we've got this much resources available to us. In donated funds, which again, we don't specify who's going to be donating, but these are the kind of funds that do come in and then often are donated to special projects in town or sometimes to certain departments in town, like the police department, and then it's up to them working with the various committees from the council to decide how to spend those monies. Donated funds of $194,397.33. The Economic Development LB 840 Fund, $3,660,063.42. But I'll remind you here that we are have been the recipient and holding on to right now $2 million that was a grant from the state for the Dana Village remodeling project that Lutheran Family Services is going to be going through. And so that $2 million is part of this $3,660,000, okay? So substantially more than what we normally have had in recent years. The Keno Fund, very much like the Hotel Occupation Fund, the Keno Fund, $419,568.91. And then we have all the various current active TIF projects that are going on. TIF 3, $50,371.76. And again, just a reminder to you and the audience, the way TIF works is that the businesses, once they are established there and build there, they pay regular taxes. But the incremental part of what is above and beyond what used to be taxed on that particular property is captured, sent to us to be held in this fund, and then is used for no more than 15 years to reimburse them for any eligible costs that they may have had. And so these are funds that didn't come from us, they didn't come from the citizens, they actually were paid in taxes by these particular property owners. We're just holding on to them now and then distributing them back to them. So for TIF number 4, this one is a little unique because this is the Dana Village one, or Dana Campus one, and we do have some public infrastructure that we put in up there. So part of this is our money that we're paying off some of our own bonds for. TIF 4, $246,637.98. TIF 5, $66,264.19. TIF number 6, $18,320.12. TIF 7, $39,270.03. TIF 8, just $3,100. TIF 9, we don't anticipate any activity this year. That was the apartment complex that potentially was going to get built up off of 25th Street, but they didn't get their state grant, and so therefore the project's dead, but we're still showing it on our books until it cycles out of our budget process. And then finally, TIF 10, which is the Blair Crossing project, we anticipate just $7,500 this year in activity, because again, they won't be capturing any of the taxes that they pay for a whole nother year. All of those added together get us that $101,750,050.80. Questions?
Thank you. Do we have any comments from the public? Having none, would someone like to introduce the ordinance?
I'll introduce ordinance number 2593, adopting the budget statement for fiscal year 2025-2026.
An ordinance to adopt the budget statement to be termed the annual appropriation bill to appropriate sums of fund necessary expenses and liabilities of the city of Blair, Nebraska for the fiscal year commencing on the first day of October 2025 and specifying the object and purpose of each appropriation and amount for each object and purpose, repealing all ordinance conflicts herewith, providing this ordinance shall be in full force and effect, providing for publication of this ordinance in pamphlet form.
I move the statutory rule regarding reading on three different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second.
Question.
The question before the council is, shall the statutory rule requiring reading on three different days be suspended? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye. An ordinance to adopt the budget statement to be termed the annual appropriation bill to appropriate sums for necessary expenses and liabilities of the city of Blair, Nebraska for the fiscal year commencing on the first day of October 2025 and specifying the object and purpose of each appropriation and the amount for each object and purpose, repealing all ordinance in conflict herewith, and providing this ordinance shall be in full force and effect, providing for publication of this ordinance in pamphlet form.
I move for final passage of ordinance number 2593.
Second.
Question.
The question now before the council is, shall ordinance number 2593 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance 2593 duly adopted. Item number 8, consider resolution 2025-84 setting the levy for the City of Blair and the Blair Airport Authority for fiscal year 2025-2026. Mr. Green.
Thank you again, Mayor. So now you have the resolution that is required again by state law whenever the levy is being changed. Whether the dollar amount being asked for is changing or whether the percentage amount is changing, both are required. The six items that are on the front page, and Aaron, if you want to bring up the resolution just so those in attendance can see, these six particular questions are all mandated by state statute to be in this resolution. And so this is not just me kind of deciding, hey, here's something I want to tell you about our numbers. These are all required to be here. And so I'm going to take the time to read them because the legislature feels that they are important. So again, this is setting the property tax request, and it is different than this than the current year is for next fiscal year that begins in October. So number one, the 2025-2026 fiscal year property tax request be set at general fund of $2,389,692.75. Again, this is the amount of money in taxes that you'll take through property tax that goes into this particular fund, into the general fund. So earlier on that one page sheet, when we showed the different breakdowns for each of those three different funds, that was just percentages I showed you. This equates to what the dollar amounts are. And at the top of that page had those dollar amounts that way. For the street fund, $259,870.37. And for the debt service fund, $509,038.17. And that one has gone up substantially, but it's because of the public safety bonds and now having to pay off those public safety bonds, which we'll be doing for the next 10 years. For a total then in property tax asking of $3,158,601.30. Number two, the total assessed value of property, which is $1,110,225,024, differs from last year's total assessed value, which was $1,071,009,083 by 3.66%. Okay, this is so that the citizens understand that the city has grown, the value has grown. Well, if you had asked for the same dollar amount with this new value, that would have greatly reduced then the actual levy percentage-wise amount because of, again, the way the math works. We'll see that here in a minute. Number three, the tax rate, that percentage amount, which would levy the same amount of property taxes as last year being this current fiscal year, when multiplied by the new total assessed value of the property, would have been 0.276430 per $100 of assessed value. But of course, we're asking for a 0.28, a little bit more than that. And all of this is, again, required by the state to be shown, and it was actually shown in the public notice that was in the newspaper. Number four, the City of Blair proposes to adopt a property tax request that will cause its tax rate to be as follows. And so those dollar amounts that were listed earlier, here's now the percentages, which again were shown on that other sheet. The general fund being 0.215244, street fund being 0.023407, the debt service fund being 0.045850, or for a total tax rate of 0.284501 per $100 of assessed value. Again, 28 cents basically, we oftentimes call it then, 28 cents per $100 of valuation. Again, as I said, take a look at the notices that are in the newspaper. Some of them are in the 50s, 50 cents, you know, this is 28 cents. So really good for our citizens. Number five, based on the proposed property tax request and change in other revenue, the total operating budget of the City of Blair will increase last year's budget by 9.42%, which is true. That total bottom line dollar amount, but that includes all of our funds, includes the water fund and paying back all those bonds, the other improvements that are being made. And so, but it's not fair to say, it's not true, the general fund isn't going up. In fact, it went down compared to this last year. It's the total overall of all the funds that got you to that 101 million plus is increasing by 9.42%. Number six, that the proposed budget for fiscal year 2025-2026 for the City of Blair will require an increase in property taxes of 2.92% from the previous year. Again, that's that statutory limited amount. And then the last number that I just want to show, top of the next page, refers to the Blair Airport, which again, they're a separate board, but they get their taxing power through the city. State law allows an airport board to automatically get up to 3.5 cents per $100. Anything beyond that, you would specifically have to approve. It's below that still this year. So in a sense, even if you voted this thing down, they could get this money. But here it's clearly stated in this particular resolution that for the Blair Airport Authority for the fiscal year that begins again October 1st of this year, it's set at 0.030134 per $100 of assessed value. If you're interested, it's not required on this page, but what that equates to is $334,560 is what the Airport Authority will be getting from property taxes from the citizens of Blair to help support the airport. 65-70% of that goes towards debt payments for the airport. The last few years, with the addition of Corey Trevor, we do have some administrative costs that we're now taking through some of this as well, at just a little bit over $89,000. So, but total for the airport, $334,560. Any questions that you have for me? Thank you.
Any comments from the public? Having none, council?
Motion to adopt resolution 2025-84.
Would you like to introduce it first?
Oh, yeah, introduce resolution. Why not?
Resolution number 2025-84 was introduced by Councilmember Letcher, setting the levy for the City of Blair and the Blair Airport Authority for fiscal year 2025-2026.
Motion to adopt resolution 2025-84.
Second.
Excellent suggestion. We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2025-84. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 9, consider resolution 2025-85, approving the one-year plan for street improvements for fiscal year 2025 and 2026. Mr. Heaton.
Thank you, Mayor. So I'll just touch on this real quick again. An hour ago, we had the public hearing on the one-year plan, so this is now where the council will approve that if you're up for it, I guess. lost what I was going to say, sorry. But yeah, it's just so everybody's aware, the one-year plan, there's a lot on there. We are not planning on doing all of that this year. I think this year, we have, as years past, budgeted about $450,000 in mill and overlay projects, which are all included in that one-year plan, and then some. So happy to answer any questions if you have any. Otherwise, we'll move away.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any comments from the public? Having none,
introduce resolution 2025-85.
Resolution number 2025-85 was introduced by Councilmember Clark, approving the one-year plan for street improvements for fiscal year 2025-2026.
Make a motion to adopt resolution 2025-85 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2025-85. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 10, consider resolution 2025-86 for the installation of a stop sign on 21st Street at South, going northbound. Mr. Heaton.
Thank you, Mayor. We are proposing to install a stop sign on 21st Street heading northbound at South Street. This was a request through the Transportation Committee for staff to look into this. I think there's a picture. So we got South Street east-west, 21st Street north-south. What we'd be looking at is a stop sign stopping the northbound traffic on 21st Street as they get to South Street. My understanding is that it gets especially busy on Sunday mornings when the Catholic Church that's just south of here, when they get out and their services are over. If you've driven through here at all, South Street, as you know, does go up a pretty steep hill. So when you pull up to that intersection without the stop sign there, you know how people drive. The visibility with that hill is not the best. So I think having a stop sign here will at least give most people to stop, take a look, make sure the traffic's clear, to avoid any issues. So any questions on that?
And CJ, will they flag that because
yes.
It's new?
Yeah, we'll flag new ones. I don't believe we'll put flashing lights on that, but definitely flags.
Thank you. Any comments from the public? Having none, Transportation Committee.
Yes, we did meet on this. And the line of sight is not very good on that hill, going up or down. So with that, I'll introduce resolution 2025-86.
Resolution number 2025-86 was introduced by Councilmember Wolf for the installation of a stop sign on 21st Street at South Street northbound.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 2025-86 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion a second to adopt resolution 2025-86. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 11, consider resolution 2025-87, approving agreement with JEO Engineering to conduct a Blair East industrial blight study along Highway 30 East. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. What you have is a resolution approving this agreement with JEO to do this blight and substantive study. Aaron brought up the map of the area. So what you're looking at here is where the blue outline is the area that would be included in this. Some of these other areas are already in a redevelopment district, and this would potentially, after it goes through this whole process, is eventually approved by the council, would potentially then become part of the redevelopment district. Just for the sake of everyone here, redevelopment districts are important because you cannot do TIF projects outside of a redevelopment district. That's the whole point, is that you've designated this area as needing some redevelopment or potential for redevelopment if it's the kind of project that is good for the community, in line with the comprehensive plan and ultimately approved by the council. So this is a study to evaluate this area. We're required by state law to have an independent outside party do this evaluation for us. Ultimately, then they'll put this study together over the next couple months. They'll come and present it then to the Planning Commission. Planning Commission's role and responsibility is to say, number one, do they have any questions about the details of the plan, but is ultimately designating this area in conformance with the comprehensive plan and in need of redevelopment. They'll make a recommendation. It'll ultimately come back to you as the council then for approval if that's the case. One of the things that's true in Nebraska is that cities of the first class are limited by the amount of area that you can have in a redevelopment district. Not necessarily limited by the number of TIF projects, it's limited by the square footage of the area in a redevelopment district. And you can't have any more than 35% of the community in a redevelopment district. Right now, we're somewhere north of 32%. So there's not a lot of area. Of course, we have had a couple of annexations over the last few years, so that percentage may be down a little bit. That'll be part of what's gonna be evaluated in the study, is he'll let us know. If for some reason this area would take us over the 35%, you couldn't approve this without removing some of the other areas first from a redevelopment district. But again, that's completely up to the council to do as you see fit. So we may have to deal with that situation sometime down the road, just to be aware of that. But total cost for this is $7,500 in our current budget through the community development area. And again, there have been some discussions already by property or potential property developers in this particular area wondering if it was able to be TIFed. And we've told them that, you know, TIF is not available unless this would ever be placed into a redevelopment district. Any questions?
Why does the blue go up and around that one section on the bottom right there? Why is that one?
This is already in the redevelopment area. And so this is KJK Circle. There was a development that was done in there. There's now three businesses, I think, that are located in there, maybe a fourth one coming in on the eastern side. That area was specifically requested years ago to be studied and was put into a redevelopment district simply so that they could do TIF projects within that little area.
Okay.
But at that point in time, they just did this small area. We're trying to incorporate, you know, most of the rest of this. Now you'll notice we did stop at where Industrial Drive is, did not include this undeveloped area, which we could have. But you know, that's one of the philosophical things that the state legislature and specific legislators are wrestling with, is how much should undeveloped ground be declared blighted and substandard. And it's never been in the city limits. That's one of the requirements, or not a requirement, what one of the criteria that could declare it blighted and substandard is if you had parcels that had been in the city limits for more than 40 years but never developed. That seems to indicate there's an issue there of why hasn't this been developed. And we have parcels that are undeveloped after 40 years that are within the city of Blair. Some are in redevelopment districts, some are not. I just felt like, you know, there was really no need to necessarily go farther east towards the river there on that one. But Industrial Drive, especially where the tree farm is, you know, that's being marketed actively right now. There's some potential for development to occur in some of these areas. Just felt like now would be a good time to look at this particular parcel, for these parcels. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments from the public? Judiciary Committee.
We did meet on this. We talked about it. This is something we can use in our toolkit. With, you know, if we do approve all this, that we can further develop this area for, you know, more industrial or more commercial on US 30. There. There's no questions from the council. I'll introduce Resolution 2025-87.
Resolution number 2025-87 was introduced by Councilmember Heifel, approving an agreement with JEO Engineering to conduct a Blair East industrial blight study along Highway 30 East.
I'd like to move to adopt Resolution 2025-87 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution number 2025-87. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Mr. Green, do you have
a report? I think it's been 2 months since we've seen him before 10 o'clock.
Hey, we could, no, we're not. I already texted my wife, we're done. Okay. So, a couple things just to bring to your attention. And number one, for the audience, to let you know, we are going to have an executive session. And so, we're going to shoo everyone except the council out of this room for a while. We usually try to do the executive session at the very end and hopefully not have to have any actionable items afterwards so that we can just be called back into general session and then have a request to end the meeting and be done with it. But But unfortunately, there are two items that we have to act on that we're going to be talking about in the executive session tonight. And so everyone is free to stay if they choose to. They're going to leave. We'll escort you up into the very front of the City Hall office. You'll have to sit up there until we're done. We'll come get you then and come back. Again, no obligations, obviously, by anyone to stay. I do believe the fee that's being done and shown is going to end at this time and not come back after the executive session. So again, there are two different items. If you go to the city's new website, then that's something that you can go to Spark and kind of see what the vote of the results were on that eventually tonight. But just want everybody to know that that's going to be coming up afterwards. Now that you've approved the budget, there are several things that need to get implemented from that budget, and a lot of that has to do with personnel. So I'll just let you know right now, at the next council meeting, we plan to have job descriptions ready for you to be reviewing. There were several suggestions over the summer that our CAP team has worked with the Finance Committee on and is making a recommendation. All of those dollar amounts have been included in the budget, so we'll be bringing lots of that documentation to you for implementation at the very next meeting. And just lots of activity going on. You're probably aware of moving forward with a new finance package. That project continues to go well. We're anticipating going live in mid-November. That also means, though, that utilities and utility payments and how that is all processed also has to change. So we're working on a schedule right now, either next meeting or the first meeting in October. We'll come to you with kind of an outline of what it is that we're looking at doing. And I'm kind of looking at this as almost a three-month process of educating our citizens on the changes that are coming. Well, that means we start pretty much at the end of September, at least in October, to do October, November, and December, just so people are comfortable with how payments are going to be made. Jake, I did not do this earlier, but why don't you come on up real quick. Aaron, if you want to flip over to the website. We did go live today with the new one, so Jake, give a two-minute overview.
2 minutes. All right, the new website went live today, so we are now blairne.gov, so Nebraska is no longer spelled out. We are now a .gov website, thanks to a lot of help from Tom White, IT director, getting that for us, so we are a little more official now. Website is live, a lot with the color scheme to match the school district, bringing community pride. A lot of the pictures you see have been submitted via social media from the citizens and residents, so I really went into the community base for this new website. If you want to scroll down, Aaron. Some of the big changes is the social medias are now on the side. As you go down a little bit more, keep going, Aaron. Buttons all have some hometown swag to it, pictures throughout instead of just a generic one. And then keep going, news and events and schedule the calendar here. It was compressed a little bit. You used to see this news as it went all the way across and you have to keep scrolling to get to the calendar. So we compressed it so that way it wasn't scrolling as much. The whole goal behind the whole new website was making it easier for residents to find it so they have to click to click to click to find something. The library has its portions updated as well. Another cool portion that's really nice is if you hover over departments, Aaron, you used to not be able to see all this. Usually I think it was fire department and finance was cut off because this was big, so they compressed it down to you can find which department you want, and then it expands over to the right side, so really making it easy that you don't have to scroll and lose it. About it in a nutshell. Everything was just about making it easier to find stuff instead of click to get more, and again, the pictures are all from residents, color based throughout town and everything like that, so.
Looks great, Jacob. A lot more user friendly. Thank you.
Is that going to change our email addresses or anything?
That is.
Yeah. So the most important thing I would stress is don't panic, because the current ones are going to work for years. Okay. But we're switching domain wise on where everything ultimately is going to reside over to this .gov. So I think Tom, they're live now, or could they start using them or not? Or
yeah.
Okay, we'll let you know when you want to start experimenting. But we're on the cusp of getting all that done. But the BlairNebraska.org is going to work for literally years, and then we'll be doing the slow process because we have some generic ones that we use inside City Hall for like City Clerk, Finance, some of those kinds of things. The different departments of the state email us through all those. So it'll be a long process of up kind of reminding those people and updating them. You'll probably begin to see a tagline that we'll recommend that you put, at the bottom. bottom of your email that just simply says, hey, the official address now is blairme.gov. Switch over to that one as soon as you want to. So, but yeah, appreciate Jake and all the hard work that he and Tom have been putting into this. Again, the organization that we use called Civic Plus, that really is the back end of all this, and they specialize in governmental websites, generally tries to do a refresh with communities about every 3 years. But there's a lot of work involved in providing them the resources to make it look good like that. And I love the local pictures because, you know, nobody likes to go to their hometown website and just see generic pictures of generic people. You know, we want to see our own generic people. It's lovely. All right, CJ, why don't you come on up real quick and give a good update regarding certain traffic signals.
Yeah.
Oh, he's getting free applause.
You don't know what I'm going to say.
You want more money.
You know, Phil said we're not necessarily going to spend all that money. We'll be back next week. No, so all four of the mast arms got finally installed today. So all of the lights are up. The overhead street lights, as you can kind of see in the picture, and those arms, those are all installed. Those should be, the overhead lights should be turned on tomorrow, is my understanding.
The street lights.
Not the traffic lights, just
the lights from the street.
Street
lights, yeah.
It sounds like if all goes well and the state does their review and everything clicks along next Thursday, those street lights
are all right.
So, is that
yeah, where it works.
Much needed.
Yeah, so the state has to take the controller back. They set all the parameters for the timing, the signals, how the traffic, the green turn arrows work. So once they get that all programmed, they'll bring it back up, do a final walkthrough, and we'll get them going.
Thank you very much.
Good news.
So yeah, very excited to see that go forward. Again, I'm happy even tomorrow just to get the street lights on, because at least that way it'll be a lot easier at night to be able to see as you're in the middle of that intersection and see what's going on. But to have the signals work is really, really great. CJ and I then will be working with the Transportation Committee to talk about speed limits, because that was the next thing that we have on the docket, is that once the lights were in, the state said now's the time for us to begin to have that conversation about what kind of speed limits would we like to see in this particular area. Keep in mind now we've annexed all the way down to that South Cargill entrance, so Anthony Way. So speed limit could be affected all that way, you know, all the rest of the way into town as the council chooses to request and work with the state. So if there's any questions from you, I'll answer those. Otherwise, again, just a reminder to the audience that we're going to be going into executive session. You'll notice that the council first has to act on several things, and so they'll make several different motions, several comments that will be made. We'll let you know when we will be either escorting you out or escorting you to the front. Again, people are free to stay if you'd like to. There's just two agenda items that would be acted on at the very end of this meeting. So any questions you have for me? Thank you.
Item number 13, executive session for the protection of the public interest for the following potential litigation and possible litigation involving the city of Blair. No action will be taken.
Make a motion to go into executive session at 7:43 p.m. for the following reasons: to discuss possible litigation involving the city of Blair and to preserve the attorney-client privilege.
A motion has been made. Oops. Second. Thank you. A motion has been made and seconded to go into executive session for the limited purpose to discuss possible litigation involving the city of Blair and to preserve the attorney-client privilege. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. This motion has been carried to go into executive session for the limited purpose of discussing litigation involving the city of Blair and to preserve the attorney-client privilege. And the public is excused.